Pain. I've felt pain. He's felt pain. That dude's felt pain.
What? No, I haven't felt any pain.
We've all felt pain, because you know what they say. The only things truly guaranteed in life is death and pain.
Wait, what about taxes?
Wait, what?
Is this chains for real?
No. And I hate to be all controversial here, but pain? That shit hurts, bro. Specifically, the little shit that just does one damage has no business hurting so bad. Like stubbing your toe or biting your tongue or fucking paper cuts. Like, that shit shouldn't even hurt, bro. It's paper. It's not scary. Oh, shit. And I still remember the first time in my life I ever took some real damage and felt some real pain. And it was back when I was 4 years old. Which meant I was still learning the controls of life and shit. Like, yeah, I could run, but it was low-key like watching a dude play Fall Guys. If he was drunk and fried and asleep. But regardless, one day I was bored doing 4-year-old shit, and then I seen my arch nemesis,
a fucking chair,
and I instantly knew what had to be done. I had to assert my athletic dominance by running and jumping over this chair. So I take a deep breath, I run up, jump, and clear this chair clean as hell. Now keep in mind, I was 4 years old, so that was probably the coolest shit I'd ever done in my entire life. So you know I had to show my mom to make her proud of the man I've become. Hey mom, watch this.
What the hell are you doing, Chains?
Hey man, just watch and learn. Oh shit. I fucking ate it, bro. Like, that was the type of pain that hits so hard you can fucking taste it, and damn, that shit tasted ass, bro. Like, have you ever taken a soccer ball straight to the schnoz? Cause that shit will have you smelling pain, tasting pennies, and seeing tears. Which is bad, but like, who the fuck invented the funny bone, bro? Cause that shit ain't funny. Like, bro, you can't just call some painful ass shit funny and expect it to be humorous.
No, the bone is called a humerus.
Yeah, shut up. How humorous is this, buddy?
Not humorous.
Yeah, that's what I thought. In fact, I think it's the opposite of humorous. Like, yo, did you guys know 1 in 4 dudes is gay?
Wait a minute.
Gee, I sure hope it's Owen, because he's sexy as hell.
Yeah. Y'all hit the funny bone too?
Yeah, I did.
If I had a pain tier list that went from shit ain't nothing to... I'd probably rate hitting your funny bone a solid. It's the same as stubbing your toe real hard. Like, you just need a moment to take a few deep breaths and say a few slurs, and that shit just heals itself. But if we're looking at some top tier, brutal, agonizing, excruciating pain, getting kicked in the balls. Now for you 19.8% female audience, I know you might not be able to understand what this feels like. So let me just give you a quick overview. Imagine having balls, right? Now imagine getting kicked in them. That shit hurts like a bitch. I remember one time in grade 6, me and my homies were playing a good old game of soccer. And we were playing with the big homie. I mean the really big homie. Like, the dude had more chins than a Chinese phone book. Like, last time we went to a restaurant, bro looked at the menu and said, okay. And I couldn't even tell you how big he really is, cause last time he stepped on the scale, it said, one at a time, please. So what I'm trying to say is, he was a big dude, and big dudes got big legs, and big legs produce hard kicks. And during this grade 6 soccer game, I unfortunately found myself leg spread wide. Wide open, freshly dropped testes exposed to this absolute unit, wound up to kick the ball, and well, pain. Just pain, bruh. Followed by a moment of silence from everyone on the field. And I don't know if the moment of silence was for me or for my next generation of kids the big homie just wiped out, but I felt that shit. And I felt it in my stomach. And there was really only one sound I was able to make in that moment. Now I know what a lot of you guys are thinking.
Getting kicked in the balls is nothing compared to childbirth. Childbirth is so much worse.
This guy's a misogynist.
And no. I don't give people massages.
And I might be the first to tell you this, but I've experienced both getting kicked in the balls and childbirth. And honestly, childbirth wasn't even that painful at all for real. But to be fair, it was probably a little worse for my mom, so like...
Now we all know physical pain very well, but what do you call that deep, torturous pain you feel when your dog dies?
In Minecraft, that's that psychological pain, like the pain you feel when you're watching a banger YouTube video and an ad interrupts you out of knowledge. Or like the pain you feel when you just got done making some toast and peanut butter and that shit flops on the floor face first. It doesn't hurt physically, it hurts spiritually. Like, there really is levels to this shit, bro, because now when you start adding psychological pain onto the physical pain of things, we gotta start adding new tiers to this tier list. Because imagine peacefully sleeping in your bed and you get woken up to the pain of your girlfriend kicking you in the balls, which of course hurts physically, but then you realize you don't even have a girlfriend and you live alone. So just to knock a few more off this tier list, a razor scooter to the shin. Stepping on Lego is a solid. Now getting socked in the face is an interesting one, because that shit can range anywhere from all the way to getting the sonic range knocked out of you. And if that shit's a good enough punch, you might not even feel anything. Now for the tier, I would say that's the shit where you just take one damage, like eating some food that's too hot, or getting a brain freeze, or when you're laying in bed with your phone and that shit slaps you across the face. Like, it's just minus one HP, and minus five IQ. And if anyone's seen that shit, it's probably a lifetime dead of aura. Now I'ma keep it a stack. For something to be in the shit ain't nothing tier, it's just gotta be a good ass day, bro. Like, some days I'll just be feeling invincible, bro. Like, wake up, roll out of bed. Shit ain't nothing. Eat a nice hot breakfast.
Shit ain't nothing.
Stub my toe while simultaneously getting socked in the face. Shit ain't nothing. Get a bad phone call.
Yeah, Chains. This is Dr. D's. I'm sorry to break the news to you, but, you know, you tested positive for chlamydia.
Hey, man. Shit ain't nothing. Oh, shit. Who's this?
Yeah, I wasn't finished. You also tested positive for herpes, syphilis, gonorrhea, hepatitis. You got a whole ecosystem on your shit. Honestly, at this point, our best bet is just to chop that thing clean off.
Shit ain't nothing.
No, yeah, no. No, it's definitely something. We're chopping your meat off.
Yeah, but on some days, bruh, it's just like... Yeah, nah, that's it. I quit. I'm done. I'm going to sleep. Good night. And I know this might sound like some freaky ass shit, but I feel like some pain low-key feels good, bro. Like, in school, I used to always put the front chair legs on my feet just to feel the pain. Or even, like, eating some spicy ass food, or like...
Oh, yeah, or like, getting spanked.
Yeah, no?
The
no?
Fuck?
Nah. Nah, I was thinking something more like taking a really hot shower, or like...
Getting
like,
whipped!
No?
Yo, George, shut the fuck up, bro. I'm trying to make a video and
sorry,
shit.
Sorry, my fault, pimp. My fault.
Yeah, alright. Or what about when you, like,
getting slapped in the face?
Bro, shut the fuck
up. Hey, yo!
Yo, really quick, I wanted to say this video is inspired by Mostly True, the 7 Levels of High video. If you haven't seen it already, go check it out. And I'm not the most experienced smoker, but I generally have 3 stages of being high. The first stage is... baked. At this level, you'll start to feel some of the usual effects, like having a dry mouth or dry eyes, but you're still like a normal functioning member of society. It'll make you a little bit happier than usual, make you a little bit more relaxed. But you know that voice in your head that talks whenever you think? It's like it gives that voice a microphone. Your thoughts pretty much just become louder and kind of more important in a way. But one of the major side effects that will hit you at this stage is munchies. You're gonna have the urgent desire to absolutely annihilate your cabinet. Your appetite is crazy, but all the food gets like a power up. A $2 junior chicken from McDonald's becomes a delicacy, bro. And on God, I'm not fat, but when I'm baked, I can eat like 10 of them. And that brings me to stage 2, faded. As soon as you're faded, your thoughts ascend to a different realm of thinking, bro. It's like being baked, except everything is more. Like, the munchies increase. The dry mouth gets drier. And your eyes get more red and more dry. At this point, it's like when you're at the dentist, you know they use that little vacuum thing to suck all the like moisture out of your mouth. And then you're left like with your mouth just dry as fuck. And you're kind of just sitting there like... And if when you're baked, it's like your thoughts got a microphone, now it's like you gave your thoughts like a megaphone with big ass speakers.
I want hot Cheetos.
At this point, a lot of people get paranoid, especially if you're in a public setting, because you're just trying to act as normal as possible, but you're just not a normal functioning member of society at this point. Now, if you were going really crazy, you might make it to stage 3. And now I do have to reiterate that for stage 3 especially, this is just my experience. Now, with that being said, stage 3.
Schlumped.
Your soul and essence has fully ascended. The real world is nothing but noise. You truly and fully ascended into the astral plane. You are one with the planets. You are one with the sun. You are one with
the universe.
Now after that shit, you're probably going to feel high for like the next week at least. Personally, I would not recommend this stage because I definitely lost some brain cells from that experience. But shit, bro, maybe there was just something else in the weed.
Alright, I already touched on the unspeakable things that go down in the high school bathrooms, bro. But there's only one place on earth that is more foul than those bathrooms. And it's the goddamn locker rooms. That room smells like complete and utter dog shit mixed with axe spray. Like, maybe I just went to school with a whole lot of Discord mods, but the rancid smell of the boys' locker room would contaminate anything in a 50-foot radius. And shit, Lord knows what goes down in that questionable place. Like, you'll walk in there and see anything, bro. Motherfuckers will be having fights, chicken fights, group fights, sword fights. Like, any laws and rules simply don't apply to the boys' locker room. Motherfuckers will be throwing hands, selling drugs, committing arson, committing several counts of fucking tax evasion. Shit, you name it. It's pretty much a GTA lobby in that bitch. Like, I remember one day I walked into PE and my teacher was like,
"Hey, nuh-uh-uh, where's your PE strip?"
And I was like, shit, it's in the locker room. So I walk into the locker room and there's just two motherfuckers throwing hands and they just stop and look at me like, oh shit, I'm gonna just get my backpack and shit. So yeah. Alright, y'all be safe. And then they just went back to beating the shit out of each other. Now listen, I don't spend too much time in the girls' locker room, but anytime I walk by there, that shit smells like rose petals and rainbows. So I can only imagine there's no group fights, no chicken fights. Hopefully no fucking sword fights, and bro, you deadass can't leave shit in the locker room. Like, if you leave anything not locked up, it's gone. These kids are ruthless, bro. They're snatching your wallet, your phone, your clothes. Shit, they're taking your PB&J sandwich. And the thing is, if you want your PB&J back, you're gonna have to get it back in blood because there's no laws in the locker room. See, if someone snatched my sandwich in math class, I'm turning into 6'9", bro. Mr. Cumminson, Jordan Johnson here, who lives on 123 Stickman Drive, postal code STK53Z, just stole my peanut butter and jelly sandwich my mom made me, so I'ma need his ass suspended. But if you try to tell a teacher about anything that happened in the locker rooms, they don't give a fuck. But Mr. Principal, Jordan Johnson just stabbed me and stole my backpack, my phone, my wallet, and my ID.
Damn, I'm sorry to hear that. Where did this happen?
It was in the locker room after PE.
Oh, you said the locker room? You're just gonna have to get it back in blood.
Back in blood? What are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. The way you're snitching right now, you kinda look like a bitch.
But yo, one time me, Billy, and Bob were coming back to the locker room after some good old dodgeball, and Billy notices a dude rummaging through his backpack. So he's like, yo, what are you doing, bro? But when he turned around, Billy was bamboozled to find out the kid rummaging through his bag, he was special. And there was just this moment of silence. Yo, am I supposed to like beat his ass right now? Or bro, I'm sure he didn't take anything. Just politely ask for your bag back. Alright, yeah. Oh, hey man, can I get my bag back, please? And the kid just hugged Billy, and then he left. And I'm still confused to this day, but I'ma be honest, locker rooms weren't all that bad, cause sometimes you'd walk in that hole and they would just be throwing a party. Now, it still smells like ass, and there was literally no females, but
it was still kind of lit. Like, you'd walk in there and it would transform into the club.
Shout out my label, that's me. I'm in this bitch with TP. I'm in this bitch with Ultra.
Or you'll walk in there and they'll just be giving out free pizza. Like walking into the locker room is a gamble. You might walk in there and get robbed or you'll get some fucking pizza. I don't know. But what I do know is there's only 10 types of dudes in the locker room. Starting with that one kid who must have thought it was the 1800s the way he was whipping motherfuckers. Next, we got the poor guy who's just trying to change. He's quiet, he's normal, and he changes. It's a locker room, so it makes sense. Then we got that one poor soul who gets absolutely cooked by the entire locker room. Yo, why is Kevin built like Mike Wazowski? Bro's got no neck. We're stick men. None of us have neck.
Shut up. You skip neck.
Yeah, he skips neck. Next, we got Bob. Bob's just that guy that casually takes his shirt off, and he's built like Giga Chad. Like, shit. Fucking sexy ass Bob. And I don't know why, but there was always that one guy who thought it was a good idea to just whip his nuts out. Unprovoked, uncalled for, completely out of pocket. Like, what do you look like with your nuts out in a room with 30 half-naked sweaty dudes? Like, personally, in that situation, I'm keeping my balls in my boxers. Thank you very much. And bro, tell me why there was always one kid who was just dousing himself in Axe Spray. And it's always the mustiest motherfucker doing it too. Like, who's gonna tell him that Axe Spray doesn't replace taking showers, bruh? And I don't know about your locker room, but for mine, there was always a dude eating. Like, out of all the places on earth, why are you eating in the locker room? Like, for some reason, there's something about eating around a bunch of dudes in their boxers that just doesn't sit right with me. I mean, simply by bringing that sandwich into the locker room makes it contaminated. That sandwich will be tasting like wet dog and Axe Spray. And next, we got the kid who just makes as much noise as humanly possible.
Shut the fuck up.
And then there's that one dude who decides he's having a shower. And all power to that guy, but personally, there is no fucking way I'm showering in school. Like, I can't trust this little door to stop these menaces from breaking into my shower. Cause remember, there's no laws in the locker room. Like, it's no jail, but I'm sure if you drop the soap in there, you're gonna get violated. And of course, you got the fiend. There's always a dude fiending for a vape in every locker room. And it's low-key worse in the locker room than the bathrooms. Like, these locker room fiends would do a little bit too much for some nicotine. I've seen them pay $5 for a single hit, and fuck, I don't want to know what they'll do for a hit when they run out of money. And still, I'm not gonna lie, the high school bathrooms get wild. They'll be hotboxed, there'll be fight clubs, but the thing about the bathrooms is a teacher can walk in at any time and get every student suspended. Like, even the poor kid taking a piss will probably get suspended just by association, which is exactly why the high school locker rooms get so fucking rowdy, because there's truly no teacher strong enough to stop the buffoonery that goes on in these locker rooms, so they don't even try. Shit, I don't care if your teacher is John Cena, there is no single man who can put a stop to the fuck shit that goes down in the locker rooms. But there is one thing that can, a female. It was a snowy Christmas Eve. My brother and I were watching a Christmas movie bundled up beside the fireplace while drinking a cup of hot cocoa. Man, it can't get any better than this. Or can it? What could possibly enhance these festive activities to their maximum potential? Or should I say, who can? So I called up the plug Randall and I'm like,
Yo, Randall.
Yo, what's up, car? Let me get some of that Christmas tree OG.
Oh, shit.
Let me get some of that Mean Green Grinch.
Yes, sir.
Some of that Rudolph Red Eyes, you know what I'm saying?
But the thing is, I can't deliver right now, car.
Why not?
Well, you see, car, me and the family are setting up milk and cookies for Santa Claus, car.
Oh, shit, Randall. I didn't know you were a family man like that.
Car, you already know it's Christmas Eve and shit, but if you really need some of that Mean Green Grinch, come by the crib and pick it up.
Say less.
Randall sent his address and it was only a 15-minute drive. So we walk outside to go hop in the whip and I'm like,
what? What? Where the fuck did the whip go?
It should be right here.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, the entirety of the whip had been covered in snow. I mean, in these conditions, not only would it be impossible to drive, but many would say it wouldn't even be possible to walk to Randall's crib. However, on this specific Christmas Eve, there was nothing that was gonna get between us and that Christmas tree OG. So we throw on our snow attire and take our first step off the porch. And god damn, that shit was deeper than I thought. As we started our journey to Randall's house in waist-high snow, I was filled with determination. The type of determination that just dipped after 5 minutes of wet socks, possible hypothermia, and no end in sight.
Bro, should we just head back now? I mean, we still got like 30 more minutes to go to Randall's house. I don't think I could do it, bro.
Chains. Just picture this. Mariah Carey is playing in the background. Your nose is filled with the sweet scent of freshly baked cookies while we get baked as fuck and drink as much eggnog as we want.
Shit, you're right. We can't stop now.
So we walked and walked in what seemed to be like endless amounts of snow. But then a brightness slowly revealed itself through the snowfall. A beautifully decorated house with reindeer on the roof and Santa Claus in the chimney. We had made it. We made it to the boy Randall's crib. Randall invites us inside and out of the Christmas spirit, the homie Randall seshes us up for the freesky. And at last, I got a taste of that Rudolph Red Eyes Kush, and in that moment, it was all worth it. So me, Randall, and my brother smoke up for a while, but then my brother realizes,
oh shit, it's already 11 p.m. We gotta make it back for Christmas.
Damn, you're right.
Wait. Before you jits go, cut, take some for the road.
Yo, thank you, bro. So we begin our journey back home, except this time something was different. We were zooted as fuck. And if you've ever been in the cold while being more baked than some gingerbread, you would know that shit is ass. And as my brother and I walked through the snowfall continued to get worse and worse. And after 30 minutes of walking back home while being higher than Santa's sleigh, my legs just folded, bro.
Oh shit, Chains, are you good?
Bro, it's too far. You're gonna have to make it back without me.
Bro, shut up. You're fine. You're just high as fuck.
Oh, Ni-chan.
Bro, get your bitch
ass
up.
Let me go. You need to make it back before Christmas starts.
Yo, just get up, bro. Stop playing around. Oh my fucking god. And then I fucking died. Maybe that Mean Green Grinch was gonna be what stole my Christmas after all. Man, you're not fucking dead. Until my brother decks my ass harder than the boughs of holly. Bro quite literally slapped me back to reality. And that was all I needed to keep going. But we only had 5 minutes to make it back to the house before Christmas. So we use everything we have left. We see the red and green glowing lights in the distance getting closer and closer and... And by a Christmas miracle, at last we could sit down on the couch, bundled up next to the fireplace, watching a holiday movie, drinking some hot cocoa, all while zooted off that Christmas tree OG. As a broke stick man like myself, I spent my fair share of time on the bus. And if you spend a long enough time on the bus, you will see some weird ass shit. I mean, I remember my first time getting on the bus by myself. I was feeling strong and independent. Next thing I know, a crackhead sits down beside me talking about,
yabba dabba doo,
The world is ending, and you're gonna die a painful and lonely death, buddy.
And just like that, I went from strong and independent to shitting my pants.
Yeah, bro. The bus is just something else. Like, 1 in 10 people who enter the bus are straight gremlins, bro. I'm talking about the gremlins who know the perk is fake, but they still pop it. Now you just gotta sit next to this motherfucker for another 30 minutes while he tells you about the kids in his basement. But to be fair, these gremlins aren't even the worst part of the bus. The worst part of the bus is the energy. You walk in there and everyone just stops and looks at you like they're sizing you up or some shit. And you know who sizes you up the most? The fucking goddamn motherfucking bus driver, bro. These bus drivers are just eternally pissed off. Every time I would get off the bus, I would try and cheer bro up, but they're just like allergic to happiness or some shit. Hey, thank you. Have a great day, man.
Shut your ugly ass up, little boy. I already know you get no bitches with your big ass forehead, no drip having ass with your skinny ass arms. Boy, you're built like a stick man, bruh.
Damn. Hey, bro, there could really only be two reasons why these bus drivers are so mad all the time. Either they had a demon villain origin story where they were abandoned as a child and never shown any form of love until one day. In freshman year of high school, Timmy met Linda. Linda was kind, smart, beautiful, and she paid attention to Timmy when nobody else would. Timmy asked Linda to be his girlfriend, and she said yes. They dated all throughout high school, and they even got into the same university so they could be together forever. Until one day, when Timmy's world was flipped upside down. Timmy found out Tyrone had been laying some mean pipe on Linda this entire time. Everyone in Timmy's school made fun of him. Timmy could not let this slide. So he called out Tyrone to run the ones in front of the entire school. And without a single word, Tyrone winds up and hits Timmy with the meanest left hook any stick man had ever seen, leaving Timmy slept, out cold, unconscious, in front of his classmates, his teachers, and even in front of Linda. 'Cause shit, if that happened to me, I'd be just as mad as Timmy over here. Now, realistically, the only other reason these drivers are so constantly mad would be because the driver's seat secretly has a stick built in. You see, this would explain why the driver constantly has a stick up his ass. I mean, shit, you really can't even blame him for being mad. But still, I'm gonna blame them, 'cause I know these motherfuckers get pleasure whenever they see me running at full speed trying to make it to the bus stop in time, 'cause they start stepping on the gas.
Dumbass.
To be honest, there's nothing that leaves you more defeated than when you're sprinting to a bus stop, then that shit just cruises on by and everyone on the bus is laughing at you. Damn. Honestly, at that point, I just give up and go home. But it hits a little bit different when that bus is your only way home. And it was the last bus, 'cause it's 2 a.m. And now you gotta bunk up with the gremlins on the side of the street, all because that goddamn bus driver had a stick up his ass. There's a lot of things in life that I don't really understand, but if there's one thing I can truly comprehend, it's being grounded. Because in my time, I've served a total of 547 days and 16 hours in the slammer. And through a year and a half of extensive first-hand research, I've come to the professional conclusion that getting grounded is straight ass, bro. You're locked in your room with no phone, no computer, like, what do you want me to do? Think about my actions? Hell nah. Being grounded had a young me doing the stupidest shit ever, bro. Like, I was popping handstands, hitting my head against the wall, playing with the door stopper thingy. Shit, I got so bored, I even read a few pages of a book like an absolute nerd. And now that I think about it, Percy Jackson and the Battle of the Labyrinth was actually a spectacular read. Now listen, there's only one thing worse than being grounded, and that's being falsely imprisoned for life. Well, now that I think about it, there's a lot of things worse than being grounded, but one of which is being grounded during summer, bro. There's something about being able to hear all the happy children, the ice cream trucks, your homies having fun, the hoes throwing rocks at your window, asking you to come outside. Well, you just cry yourself to sleep, because there never was any hoes throwing rocks at your window asking you to come outside. It's just you, your Percy Jackson books, some used toilet paper, and the existential thoughts in your head, questioning if it's even worth it. And listen, I'm sure everyone can pick up on the fact that I'm a really intelligent dude. Smart all around, really, but trust me when I say, I wasn't always this smart, bro. In fact, in kindergarten, my dumbass fully believed with my whole heart that being grounded meant your parents would just dig a decent-sized hole in your backyard, toss you in, and bury you alive for the time being. And so I'm sure you could imagine my surprise when my OG friend of 5 days said, yeah, I got grounded for 2 whole weeks. Holy fucking shitballs, dude, are you okay? No, man, it's really hard. I didn't get to touch any of my toys or anything. Damn, how long ago was that, man? Oh, I'm still grounded. What? No, you're not. Yeah, dude, I'm grounded right now. No, the fuck you're not. And I wouldn't truly find out what being grounded was until 7 years later. I was in grade 7. It was a beautiful sunny summer day at approximately 11 a.m. And me and the boys were freely roaming our city. Little did I know, we wouldn't be free for long. And as the boys and I roam the city looking for a move, one of Bob's girls calls him up and is like, okay, so my friend Becky is in Hawaii for a few days with her family, and she said I could bring you over. And just like that, Bob could have wrapped it up and claimed some cheeks. But the boy Bob was never one to leave the homies behind. So not only did he convince his girl to let us come, but he went above and beyond. He got his girl to bring some of her friends over too. And now we're hyped because we had now located the move, and quite a marvelous move if I do say so myself. Now keep in mind, all of us knew Becky and had been to Becky's house many times before, but Becky was all the way in Hawaii, so she had no clue about the marvelous move about to take place at her own crib. But regardless, me and the homies walk into Becky's crib and they low-key got a little get-together in the works. I see Bob's girl, I see Bob's girl's friends, and then I see a mutual friend of mine named Dennis. And he brought his girl. Now, a little backstory about Dennis. Dennis was 2 years older than me, making him in high school. And to be fair, from grade 7 to high school is a colossal difference. Dennis was taller, had a more developed frame, and Dennis even had some facial hair in progress. The amount of facial hair that put my peach fuzz to shame. And to put it quite simply, Dennis was a menace. But regardless, that's my homie's homie, so I walk up and dap him up. And then everyone heads over to Becky's room. Now keep in mind, Becky had simply invited Bob and Bob's girl to come over, and somehow we ended up being 8 people deep in that joint. And so that means technically, the other 6 of us were straight trespassing. So we were all chilling in Becky's room, chopping it up for a good hour and a half, until eventually, people start exploring her house. Now in Becky's room, it was just me, Bob, Bob's girl, and Bob's girl's friend named Lily. And so we're all just talking until I hear someone yell from the room down the hall.
Yo, Chains, get in here right now!
And I don't know exactly what I was expecting to see as I walked into that bathroom, but it was absolutely not seeing Dennis drop a condom filled with water on Billy's head. And of course I laughed, because that's comedy gold right there. But it also made me realize, maybe we shouldn't be here dropping condoms on each other's heads. But who was I to tell Dennis what to do? He had facial hair, so he was practically a grown man to my standards. So I just turned around, went back to the room, and continued chilling with Bob. And as we talked, the music progressively got louder, and Dennis progressively became more of a menace. And it had got to the point where the speakers were booming, and Dennis was lobbing condom water balloons off Becky's balcony. And then one time, Dennis either almost hit or just missed Becky's neighbor with one of these condom water balloons. So this grown man looks down at a condom that seems to have fell from the heavens, then he looks up and sees Dennis scrambling inside to Becky's crib with the speakers blasting music, and then he continued on his way. And we were all just having a fantastic time in Becky's room until we hear the downstairs door swing open, and we all absolutely shit our pants and run onto the balcony.
Hey, I just texted the family who lives here, and they said no one is supposed to be in the house. Everyone needs to leave right now, or I'm calling the cops.
And that's exactly what we did. No messing around, we were out that hoe. And we all went to Bob's girl's house for an emergency meeting, because we were all scared as fuck. And now Bob's girl and Becky are texting, and Becky's like, my parents are pissed, they want to talk to everyone's parents, and they know how many people were there. So we all devise a foolproof plan. Okay, we give Becky our phone numbers, tell it's our parents' phone numbers, and we act super disappointed in our children. We all agreed on this plan, and the emergency meeting was dismissed. And over the next few days, we all got texts from a very unhappy Becky's father, who made sure to specify the amount of condoms that were found in the bathtub. We all respond with some bullshit along the lines of,
hello, Mr. Beckerson. I'm very sorry to hear about the inconsiderate acts of Chains and how he's invaded your home. Rest assured, Chains will feel the wrath of this thick leather belt as it repeatedly beats against his cheeks to discipline him for his heinous actions. Thank you for bringing this to my attention.
But come to find out, Lily's dumbass responded with some shit like, Dear Mr. Beckerson, thank you for letting me know, but Lily did nothing wrong as she didn't know she wasn't allowed there. Plus, she didn't even make a mess or anything, on God. Put some respect on my daughter's name. Period. And just like that, our foolproof plan got fucked. And Becky's father texted each of us saying,
you are coming to the house at 3:15 p.m. today, or I'm calling the cops.
And shit, looking back, Becky's father was most definitely bluffing. Like, say I didn't go, what was he gonna tell the cops?
911, what's your emergency?
Hey, there was 8 kids who invaded my home 3 days ago.
Okay, sir, did they break in?
No, No. My daughter gave them the key.
Sir, why the fuck are you calling 911?
There was condoms in the bathtub!
But like I said, I wasn't very smart, and I didn't have the brain capacity to think that far ahead. So everyone shows up to the house, and Becky's father sits us down and makes each of us individually call our parents and explain what we had done. And I went first. Hey, Mom, I went to Becky's house the other day, but she was in Hawaii, and I wasn't really invited.
There was condoms in the bathtub!
Needless to say, we all got our shit whooped, and I received my very first grounding with a sentence of 1 month in the slammer.
Man, sometimes this world can be a little cold. It can get a little gray, but there is nothing that can bring more excitement and vibrance to your life than having a crush. I mean, it gives you something to wake up for, something to smile for, someone to impress, and someone to be absolutely crushed by, leaving you more depressed than ever before. Which is when you get a new crush. I mean, crushes make the world go around. Everyone's had a crush at some point in time, and sometimes that shit gets too serious. I mean, I've had homies prepared to throw away their entire lives just to impress their crush, bro. Oh my God, look at these big weights. I wonder if anyone's strong enough to lift these. Oh my God, look at this big jump. I wonder if anyone's athletic enough to make. Oh my God, look how creepy this cave is. I wonder if anyone's brave enough. Oh my God, look how tall this building is. I wonder if anyone could stick the landing. I said, I wonder if anyone could stick the land. Oh, ew, did he just die? Oh my God, I'm getting the ick.
Nope, just getting a few extra reps in.
Man, I remember my first crush like it was yesterday, bro. She was 5 years old. But I was 5 years old too, right? Like, so it wasn't actually yesterday, you know, it's a saying, but we were both 5 years old, and I remember slotting in smooth as hell.
Yo, shorty, you like Legos?
Yeah.
How about you and me go Lego my ego?
What does that even mean?
Shit, I don't even know. I seen it in a commercial once.
And after that day, me and Rose hung out all the time. We'd be playing Legos, we'd link up at recess, and I couldn't help but let her know how I truly felt.
Hey, Rose, I like you.
Oh, I like you too.
And that shit had me thinking, damn, this life shit is easy as hell. I'm barely 5 years old and I already got a wife to raise my kids.
Little did my dumbass know, life wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. Cause when I came to class the next day, I saw Rose playing Lego with another dude. And that was the day I realized crushes cause nothing but
pain.
Especially before high school, because let's just think about the three possible outcomes. One, you have a crush on this girl and you decide to tell her, because
what's the worst that could happen, man?
You guys are right. Stacy? Yeah, I have a crush on you. Or two, you never build up the courage to tell her and end up watching your crush sit in a tree with the faster kid who had the light up Skechers and the Charizard EX. And we all know what happens when Stacy and Jimmy are sitting in a tree. Or outcome three, you confess to your crush and it's the perfect scenario. I like you too. Now you've officially started your first middle school relationship, which is probably the worst outcome of all, bro. Cause now you've been sentenced to 14 days of relentless cringe and countless awkward scenarios. And I say 14 days because that shit's lasting 14 days max, bro.
Hey Stacy, do you want to be my girlfriend?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, huh. Yeah, awesome. Huh.
Yeah,
awesome.
Woohoo!
do you want to hold hands or something?
Yeah, sure.
So, Stacy, I've been thinking. I don't think this whole thing's gonna work out.
Oh. Okay.
It's not me, it's you.
Oh. Wait, what?
Yo, fuck my ass.
Or what's even more tough than having a crush in middle school is having a crush on a fictional character, bruh. Cause it's like, you'll just be chilling, watching some Teen Titans eating cereal or whatever. All of a sudden your crush is kissing other dudes right in front of you and you can't even do shit about it. I remember back in my day, I was down horrendous for Lola Bunny, bruh. And I really don't know how I feel about admitting my attraction towards a 2D cartoon bunny, but you gotta remember, this was in the past. Like, this was at least 2 months ago. And maybe I'm tweaking on this one, but the red fish from Shark Tale, bruh, she was different, bro. And her name, I think it was Lola as well. Shit, maybe I just like cartoon girls named Lola or something.
That's exactly what I want to hear.
And I don't know about you, but for some reason, whenever I would talk to my crush, it was like I got an instant nerf, bro. I'm talking minus 10 charisma, plus 15 stutter, minus 5 strength, and plus 350% chance of getting put in a random ass headlock. Like, I could be in the worst scenario of all time with a girl who has 5 kids and is married to a member of the cartel. And just cause she's not my type, I'll get an instant stat boost that'll have me pulling like Mr. Duke Dennis himself. But put me in a room with my crush and all of a sudden I got the same charisma as fucking McLovin.
Hi.
Hey, it's 10:33.
What?
AM, like in the morning. Like I'm saying, it's 10:33 in the morning. Fuck. And on top of your crush turning you into McLovin, it also leaves you open to the inevitable pain of being embarrassed in front of your crush. And man, let me tell you, there is nothing quite like it. It was a beautiful sunny day and I was in grade 2 wearing my favorite bright blue basketball shorts in math class, gazing out the window at those shiny old monkey bars, excited for recess. And when the bell rang, I hauled my little ass over to those bars and I was swinging like there was no tomorrow. And before I knew it, the whole class was on these monkey bars, which quickly turned into chicken fights, and I wasn't complaining. I mean, hanging from a bar and kicking the living shit out of some toddlers? Sign me up, you know what I'm saying? So I'm in line watching these grade 2 gladiator battles go down until it was my turn, and when I step up to those bars, I look into the crowd and see my crush of 2 weeks, Lexi. And now that Lexi was watching, there was no chance I was about to lose this fight in front of her. But as I look over to see who my opponent is, I realize it's Axel. And Axel was known for being the undisputed chicken fight champion. Legend had it he once took on 3 dudes at once, pause. So I knew going into this, I had to lock the fuck in, bro. So we climb over to each other and he's kicking my shit in off rip until I hit his ass with my specialty move, the Python squeeze. And in 10 seconds flat, let's just say I folded that motherfucker's clothes with him still in him. And everyone was hyping me up because I just did the exact equivalent of dunking on Michael Jordan in his prime with Beyonce watching. So of course Axel's pissed. Hey Chains, you, me, rematch, now! Ooh.
And I look over at Lexi, and she looks over at me, and now I can't back down. So we get back in position, climb over to each other, and I go for the python squeeze again, and this motherfucker Axel just winds up and kicks me in the balls. And I'm not gonna lie, that hefty kick to the dick accessories was the worst pain I had ever felt in my 7-year-old life. But I couldn't just drop and lose to Axel in front of Lexi, so with all the pain and anger I feel radiating from my nuts, I hit Axel with the meanest 20-piece combo in chicken fight history, and he drops. And then he pants to my shit, bro. And embarrassed, I drop and try to run away, but the shorts around my ankles trip me, and I face plant. Face down, tighty whities up, balls in shambles in front of everyone, including Lexi. And some people like to say, oh, it could always be worse, but this time, I don't know, man. So the moral of the story is, man, fuck Axel, bro.
Man, I don't know about y'all, but for me, having an older brother is like...
Oh, chin check!
Damn, bro. L chin, am I right? Nah, I got you a gift, though.
Damn, for real?
Yeah, open them up.
Oh, these are tough. Let me try them on.
Yup. You know what these are good for, bro?
Yeah, what is it?
Wedgie! I'm not gonna lie, bro. I still love having a big brother. Like, yeah, you get your ass beat bi-weekly. Yeah, these motherfuckers will steal your food. And they be frying your shit for no reason whatsoever.
Chains for real? Not as Chipotle for real. Because he's wrapped like a burrito.
Well, let's think about it, bro. What is the alternative? A big sister, bro? Hell nah. These motherfuckers will force you to do your makeup and shit. All right, yeah, pull the plug.
But it looks good.
Pull that shit. Like, pull the plug.
Bro, I don't
pull
think we can do
plug.
That.
Pull the
Damn,
plug.
Are you
pull
serious,
the,
bro?
Man, pull the fucking plug. Like, having a brother's an interesting situation. Because I would trust this motherfucker with my life. No questions asked. But I'm not trusting him with my Chipotle for a second, bro. Like, I was born with my very own number one hater and my number one supporter who just happens to have the same mom as me, bro. But listen, nowadays, I'm a grown-ass man. My brother, a grown-ass man. Now that we're both grown, we get along like PB&J.
Yo.
That's what I was about to say, bro.
For real, though. We get along like chicken
and waffles.
Okay.
Yes, sir, bro. We get along like salt and bit.
Nah, I don't get it, bro. I don't know. I don't know what you're trying to say.
Nah, I mean, what I'm trying to say is if I'm eating,
right.
Worried.
Oh, yeah. If he gets into a fight, we get into a fight, yeah.
If someone reads my search history, we searched up Lola Bunny furry buns, looped up, shaking it wild
bro.
Style, yeah.
Nah.
What are you doing?
We didn't do that?
Fuck no. Okay, yep, no, that's fine. But a lot of shit has changed throughout the years, man. Back in the day, me and my brother were ops, bro, because this motherfucker's sole reason for living and breathing was to rage bait my ass, and I was like 5 years old still figuring out who's milking the chocolate cows and shit, and big bros hit me with shit like,
yo, what's 9 plus 10?
It's 19.
Get a load of this dipshit.
Bro, it's literally 19. Man, what the fuck?
Dude, why are you so mad, bro?
Bro, you literally...
Tyre, relax, bro. Just sit down, take a deep breath.
Who's a good boy?
Yeah, man,
who's
a... fuck. Now, me and my homies used to wrestle all the time, and my record was decent. We're talking like 50 and 10, and at the time, my signature go-to finisher move was the guillotine choke. It had seriously never let me down once until I tried that shit with Big Bro, and I started guillotining my ass beat, dog. My brother's 3 years older than me, so that shit was like a boss battle that you just don't have enough XP for, bruh. Like, when I would pull up on him, I hear boss battle music, my health bar pops up, and I start unloading the clip on this motherfucker, but he's done beat my ass so many times. He's got my moveset memorized and shit, bro. Like, this motherfucker's the Picasso of beating my ass specifically. Like, every time, I was getting folded like an omelet, folded like origami. I was getting folded like I was playing poker, the way he just dealt me these hands, bro. And maybe you're thinking, Big Bro got the strong genes, so I got the smart genes type shit. Nope. Nope, not. This motherfucker took those jeans too, bro, and he put them to use. Cause he used to manipulate the shit out of me, bro. Like, I remember one Halloween a long time ago when I was like 4, my mom came up to us with 2 costumes, right? One was Spider-Man with the fake muscles and everything, and the other was Shrek. It was Shrek. Yo, I call no, Spider-Man. No, but I want Spider-Man.
Actually, you know what?
I want Shrek, man. Shrek is cool as hell. Like, what'd he say? What are you doing in my swamp?
Wait, no, oh, I want Shrek.
Oh, you think he's supposed to be like Mike Wazowski or some shit?
I don't even know.
What are you doing in my swamp?
And this can't just be me, bro. But when we were younger, my brother would teach me some lingo or advanced intellectual informational shit. And I would go around school just spewing out words I don't even understand, bro.
Damn, what y'all got for lunch?
Shit, it's just a little PB&J.
That's savage. Yeah, yeet.
Yeah, man. I guess. I mean, my mom made
okay,
it.
Bob, I see some pizza. YOLO. Well, what about Bev's? Bev's, what are we saying?
I got some apple juice.
Okay.
Yeah, man, I love apple juice.
I don't.
Bro, what? Who doesn't love apple juice?
Yeah, well, it's because my brother says that juice has a secret society where all the juices, I'm talking apple, orange, fucking pineapple, get together and they control the bank.
Everybody's watching that shit.
Now, me and my brother would go at it, bro. It was a seemingly never-ending rivalry between us of me getting my ass beat, him beating my ass. Okay, maybe it wasn't a rivalry. Shit, I think I was getting bullied.
But one day when I was 7 years old, everything changed for both me and my brother when we got a stepsister, bro, because she was annoying as fuck. Her name was Alicia, and she was spoiled, bro. Every time she didn't have her way, she would just call up her pops, and it was raps for me and bro. Alicia was getting a princess treatment, and we were getting a fucking peasant treatment, dog. Like, let me tell you a story from my childhood, bro. I was 7 years old, and me and Alicia shared a small room, and it was split right down the middle. The left side was blue, Spider-Man bed, teddy bear, boy shit, right? And the right side was pink, Disney princess posters, Barbie dolls, all the girl shit. And one night, I was in Dreamland, counting sheep, having a wonderful time, and when I woke up, I realized I done pissed the bed, bro. Grown ass man at the big age of 6, pissing in the sheets. Hell nah. I was like, shit, man, I gotta get my act together, bro. So throughout that day, I drank a little bit less water, hopped into my cozy Spider-Man bed sheets, and went to sleep. And when I woke up, I done pissed the bed again, bruh. Fuck, man. Two in a row, I gotta lock in, man. So that day, drank no fucking water. I was parched as hell, but I jumped into bed to finally have a nice, peaceful, dry sleep. And when I woke up, fucking soaked, dog. I went 3 for 3, bro. I was like the LeBron James of waterlogging the mattress. All right, bro. This shit's just getting ridiculous.
So I go 2 days straight, no water. I'm fully dehydrated. There's not an ounce of water in my body. I finally go to sleep, but this time, I wake up to rustling. Movement. My bed kind of shaking. I fully open my eyes.
Alicia just pissed on my bed, bro.
Yo, what the fuck?
Oh, hey, Chains. They will never believe you.
Bro, I hop off the DIY water mattress, run over to my mom's room, and you gotta think about how guilty and schizophrenic I sounded, bro.
Mom, Alicia is pissing on my bed.
Chains, it's possible you wet your own bed while you were sleeping.
No, come here. Look, she's probably doing it right now.
Chains. Alicia's dead asleep.
No, but every single day I wake up and there's just piss all over the Spidey blankets.
Alright, Chains, what's next? Alicia's just gonna shit your pants too, bro?
And to this day, nobody believed me except my motherfucking brother, bro, cause he's a G. And when he realized how annoying a little sibling can actually be, he was like, shit, I low-key fuck with you, little bro.
Hey, I fuck with you too, twin.
So we started playing some Mario Kart together. He taught me how to play basketball. He introduced me to Minecraft. He even taught me how to make a YouTube channel. And as we got older, big bro got a car. And that shit felt like when Greg and Roderick finally started fucking with each other, bro. We were running around, hitting late-night Sevrons, eating straight Roderick-ass meals. We were in that bitch like,
brain freeze.
And ever since that day, my big brother's been like my second half, bro. My twin in him. Truly, I can say my big brother is my
vinegar, bro. It was salt and vinegar. It was on the tip
Everybody
of my toes, bro. How did I not get
vinegar.
That?
What are you doing in my swamp?
Getting too high and ordering Chinese food 3 times because you keep forgetting you ordered it is one thing. But being too high in public is just one situation you don't want to be in. Like when you're too high in public, it feels like there's always a spotlight on you. And that all these random people you walk by are staring you down. But whatever you do, you can't make eye contact with anyone. Or else that person will snatch your soul. If anyone else gets paranoid when they get high, then I know you can relate. I'll be out here fighting demons trying to walk to the gas station like, okay, relax. You're gonna be okay. The gas station is right there. Holy shit, it's the cops. They're after me. Man, something in that gas smokes away all your logic and reasoning. Like, it'll have me jumping from conclusion to conclusion like I'm playing Mario. Did that girl just look at me? Shit, she must think I'm sexy. Wait, no. She knows I'm high. Holy shit, she's probably an undercover FBI agent. She's getting backup as I speak. I gotta get the fuck out of here. And sometimes when you're smacked in a public setting, you're just forced to talk to people. Don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact.
Hey man, do you know where the Walmart is around here?
Wait, fuck. What did he say? He probably just asked how I was doing. Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, but do you know where the Walmart is?
Oh, yep. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for asking. Phew, good thing I played that one off. Or I mean, you could always just take the good old safe route.
Hey man, do you know where the Walmart is?
When you get way too baked in public, you also feel super self-conscious about everything. Am I walking weird? How do I even normally walk? Why am I walking like I just shit my pants? Okay, this feels pretty normal. Wait, am I even breathing right? Fuck, now I just turned on manual breathing. Roaming the streets while baked, you'll come across lots of people. But there's just some unspoken connection between two high people. Like, no words have to be said. You see that his eyes are red, and he sees that your eyes are red. You dap each other up out of respect, and you keep it pushing. Now, when you're baked as hell in public, but you're with a group of people who are just as baked as you, it's a lot easier to relax. Because the simple thought that these people look just as stupid as I do. And honestly, at that point, you can just embrace it. Because you're no longer baked, alone, and afraid anymore. Now you can speak your truth. Hey man, do you know where the wall- Hey bro, I'ma stop you right there. I am fucking baked. And therefore, I cannot help you locate anything you may be looking for. And listen, being baked and Mickey D's go hand in hand. The problem is, you have to actually talk to the McDonald's guy to get your food. Like, when I'm baked, I just don't have the brain capacity to communicate what I'm thinking. Shit, I'm probably gonna get a Big Mac. Hi there, what can I get for you? Do you guys have burgers? No shit, we got burgers. Yeah, then let me get the burger, you know, like with the things, the, you know what I'm saying, like that, yeah. Damn, you are fucking stupid, bro. And we already know being zooted at school can either be a rather delightful experience, or it could be completely and utterly terrible. Once again, if you tend to get paranoid when you're high, being at school has to be one of the worst places to be. You'll be out here ducking and dodging the teachers, absolutely shitting the bed on all your tests, and it's just overall gonna be a stressful ass experience. But on the other hand, if you get much more relaxed when you're high, then you get a nice little mood boost. You walk around with your head up and that baked grin on your face. Shit, this was never me, but I know some motherfuckers magically get a better mark on their tests when they're faded. Overall, you're just kinda living life stress-free. I mean, these two experiences are pretty much complete opposites. So I'm not trying to say being baked in public is always gonna be a bad experience, but for me, I'd much rather accidentally place 3 orders of Chinese food from the comfort of my own home.
Halloween is the spookiest time of the year. Everywhere you look, it's vampires, killer clowns, old dudes in white vans trying to steal some children, which are all very scary things, especially killer clowns. But none of these spooky things scare me more than my worst fear. Going to jail, dropping the soap, and getting my booty snatched up. Now that's some real spooky shit right there. And I know some people are gonna be thinking, oh, that's just a myth, it's a stereotype, nobody actually gets their booty snatched up for dropping some soap. But when it comes to my booty, I don't wanna fuck around, and I sure as hell don't wanna find out. But everyone knows drinking can heavily influence your judgment, and on one specific day, my judgment was affected, and I found myself fucking around. And everyone knows what the chart depicts. The more you fuck around, the more you find out. This story takes place in grade 10. It was a crisp Halloween night. The houses were decorated, the leaves had fallen, and the jackals were landing.
lantern. And as me and Billy walked down to the homie Bob's crib, we could pretty much smell that Halloween spirit. And when we knocked on Bob's door, we were surprised the homie Bob didn't open the door. It was Bob the Builder. Dude was fully suited up from head to toe. And when me and Billy seen that, we already knew we needed some costumes. So we go to Bob's closet and come out absolutely dripping into Mario and Luigi costumes, mustache and everything. But now that we undeniably had that shit on, we still had yet to find something to do. But lucky for us, the night was still young, so we got to brainstorming. Alright, it's Halloween, bro. We gotta do something. Yeah, let's go find a party. Bet, let me check where they're at. Okay. Yeah, there's no parties, bro. Fuck. I mean, we could trick or treat. Shit, we might have to, bro. And just as 3 15-year-olds decided we would knock on strangers' doors asking for candy, our Halloween was looking grim. And not in a good way. But you know what they say. Can we fix it? Yes, we can. Because Bob pulls through and sets up a goddamn 3-man mission. And just like that, Halloween goes from an L to a W night. And I thought the homies and I couldn't get more hype, that is, until Bob pulls out a bottle of Hennessy. And you would have thought Peach took the kids the way I was abusing that bottle. And we passed it around until we were all tipsy. Then we started walking to Chloe's house for the little Halloween 3-man. And it was already 9 p.m. at this point, so we're walking through the neighborhood admiring these decorations when we see the creepiest house of them all. It was Chloe's crib. So we walked through a whole graveyard just to knock on the door. And Chloe opens it looking like a whole angel. I mean, literally, she had the halo and the wings and shit. So we go up to her room where her two friends Lucy and Mia were, and we sit on her bed. And I'm not gonna lie, it was a little awkward, bro. I was sitting there with my Mario fit, my little mustache, like, Chloe, why'd you choose to be an angel?
I don't know. I just liked it. Why'd you choose to be Mario?
Shit, Mamma Mia, am I right?
Shit. Fuck.
Then Chloe whips out some tequila and all of a sudden we're playing drinking games and shit. But honestly, I was just trying to get drunk, so it'd be like, haha, drink up.
Oh no.
Alright, it's your turn.
Wait, you're supposed to get it in my cup. What the fuck?
And after purposely selling multiple games of tequila pong, I was feeling what some would call completely and utterly drunk as fuck. And next thing I know, we're playing spin the bottle. And I was up, so I spin the bottle and it spins and spins and lands on Chloe. And in my head, I'm thinking, and just as Mario's about to get some peaches, we hear the door open downstairs and Chloe's like, oh shit, my parents are home, hide. So me and the homies run into her closet with a bottle of tequila and we can hear her dad come into the room.
Hey, what's going on up here?
Oh, you know, we're just watching scary movies.
Alright, I'll be downstairs watching TV. Let me know if you need anything.
Thanks, dad.
And once her dad went downstairs, we all came out of the, we exited the closet and Chloe said,
you guys gotta sneak out through the front door, just be super quiet.
And so we creep down the stairs and peek around the corner and Chloe's parents are right there with a clear sight of the door. So we know what we have to do. We take a shot for good measure and then run to the door. And my drunk ass couldn't even figure out how to unlock this fucking door.
Hey, who is that?
It's a me, I'm Mario. Then we ran out that joint and we didn't stop running until I got a call from one of my homies named Dave. He was like, yo, what are you doing right now? Oh, nothing really, just drunk as hell running from Chloe's angry ass dad.
Yo, that's what's up. Come link me and Joe at Stickman Elementary.
And we had nothing else to do, so we pull up. And it's Dave, Dave's girlfriend, Joe, and Joe's girlfriend. And they got some couples costumes going, but I couldn't help but notice Dave and Joe were shiestied up.
What are you? If the Simpsons grew up in Chicago?
Nah, I'm just Homer.
Yeah, but I mean, Homer doesn't usually wear a fucking ski mask.
Oh, yeah, no. I just wore this because we graffitied the hell out of this school.
Joe was here? And Dave was too? Bro, what the fuck were you thinking?
What?
Oh, you want me to include your name too?
No, hell no. And just as we become guilty by association, 4 cop cars come zooming down the street.
Oh shit, it's the cops, run!
And the cops hop out of their cars and start running at us with flashlights. So we head for the forest, but to get to the forest, we had to run across this long ass muddy field. And in the middle of this field, there was a huge pothole. And how did I know that? Cause I seen Marge absolutely eat shit right in front of me. And don't get me wrong, I was absolutely
plastered, but as the cops got closer and closer, I could practically see myself getting caught and dropping the soap, and you know I wasn't gonna let that happen. And so with all that adrenaline, I Mario jumped that fucking pothole and hauled ass into the forest. And right when you get into the forest, there was this deep creek with a log going across it. But when I look back, I see the cop's flashlight getting brighter and brighter, so I say fuck it and take a run at this log. I get a good 2 steps and then my drunk ass slips. Boom, right into the muddy creek. But I don't have time to give a single fuck, so I run through this waist-high muddy water and then we regroup and check who made it. I see Bob, Joe, Dave, and Dave's girl.
Yo, where the fuck is Billy?
No, where's my girlfriend, bro?
Oh, she ate shit a few yards back.
Wait, what? Is she okay? Did she get caught?
Shut up, Billy's calling.
Yo, where are you?
I'm hiding behind a tree right now. In the middle of the field. The cops are looking for me.
I bet we're coming.
I gotta go.
Fuck no, bro. If you go, you're gonna get caught.
Listen, bro. I have to. He's the Luigi to my Mario.
So I go back in to save Billy, and my main man, Bob, comes with me. So we get to the edge of the forest and see Billy absolutely shitting his pants trying to hide from these cops. But they keep getting closer and closer. So Bob turns on his flashlight, and both cops look at him.
He's right there.
Get over here.
And while the cops were looking for Bob, me and Billy both run for the street. And we ran, but once we were at least 5 blocks away, we text Bob like, bro, we both made it, are you good? And Bob's like, so Bob makes it out of the forest and we all link up. And we take a moment to appreciate the fact that none of us went to jail, and more importantly, none of us got our booty snatched up. And after our moment of appreciation, we were like, yo, maybe we should have just went trick-or-treating. Yeah, bro, some Reese's Pieces would hit right now. I mean, it's not too late to buy some candy. So we all go to the store and cop the biggest packs of candy we could find. Then we walked back to Bob's crib and enjoyed the rest of our night while fucking up some Halloween candy.
There's really only 3 situations that make me want to just stop existing. The first is when your mom would leave you at the Walmart checkout with no way to pay. The second is having to shit in the school washroom. And the third is being sober at a party full of drunk people. I mean, there is nothing worse than a party where everyone is having fun, you know, dancing and shit. But you're just sober in the corner, eating Cool Ranch Doritos, reconsidering your life decisions. Like, maybe I'm just boring or something, but to me, most of the time, it is not fun being at a party while sober. Cause you'll be chilling, minding your business, and there'll be a bunch of drunk motherfuckers coming up to you like, yo, I am so drunk right now. nice.
Yeah, bro. I drank so much.
Nice. Because when you're drunk, there is no thought process. You're just blissfully unaware of the fact that you can't dance. But that vodka will have you in the middle of the dance floor like... However, when you're sober, you are actually aware of how stupid some of these drunk people look. Like, you can just take a look around and you'll see a bunch of motherfuckers doing shit they're gonna regret when they're sober. Damn, look at her. Yo, he's gonna regret that for sure. And look at this dude. Wait, Billy. What the fuck are you doing?
I'm twerking on the walls like Peter Parker.
No, what the fuck? Being at a party while sober has me feeling like that one dude who's always like, yo, where the hoes at? Because let's be real, rizzing up a drunk girl while you're sober is practically illegal. Like, yo, are you from Tennessee? Cause I'm trying to fuck.
Sir, hands behind your back.
God damn. And honestly, when you're sober, talking to drunk or high people in general, it's just like interacting with NPCs.
Damn, I'm drunk as shit.
Man, I love you so much, man. Like, I love you, man.
Damn, bruh. I'm zooted as fuck.
When you put bread in a toaster and it becomes toast, where the fuck did the bread go?
faded than a hoe, faded than a hoe, faded than a hoe, faded than a hoe.
Is this dude emoting?
Like, I remember one time I was sober at this function, chilling on the couch, probably playing Clash Royale or something, and there was a visibly drunk dude to the right of me and a obviously drunk girl to the left of me. And without exchanging a single word, they just started making out in front of me, bro. And that situation was weird as fuck, but like, I had to stick it out and get that 3 crown, you know what I'm saying? But honestly, I feel like that situation kind of sums up the feeling of being sober around a bunch of drunk people. It feels like you're third wheeling, but with like 100 people. But maybe that's just me, because I know some people who don't even need to drink. They just act like they're drunk all the time.
Jump, 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 jump. Oh,
shit. Ah, god damn. Holy shit, how much did you drink? Oh nah, nothing. I'm sober as hell. What the fuck? And I also know people who drink hella and somehow get more antisocial. Oh shit, are you sober too?
Nah, I'm drunk as shit. I just get depressed when I'm drunk.
Okay. Oh,
please
shit.
Come back.
Oh, damn.
Please,
oh,
Carol, I
shit.
Miss you.
Oh.
Three a.m. Once the clock strikes 3 a.m., I feel like you've given up on trying to sleep. At this point, you're going to commit to whatever you decide to do until the sun comes up. Whether you're studying for tomorrow's math test, chilling on Discord with the boys, choking the chicken, or simply sulking in those 3 a.m. thoughts, you'll pretty much find yourself doing anything but sleeping. And I don't know if it's just me, but those 3 a.m. thoughts hit different. And honestly, it's just the perfect time to go for a walk, find a nice little view, maybe light up a joint, and just think. The youngest picture of you is the oldest picture of you. Does Lightning McQueen cop car insurance or life insurance? Wait. Did the brain name itself? Hold up. What if soy milk is just regular milk introducing itself in Spanish? I have no clue if this is just me, but every once in a while when I'm laying in my bed at 3 a.m., I suddenly get the motivation to become the best person on the planet. Like, I set an alarm for 5 a.m., I tell myself I'm gonna go work out, then go for a run, then meditate, then drink kale smoothies, then become a millionaire, then donate it all to a family in need. But as soon as my alarm goes off, I'm just like, shit, I'm too tired for all that. Then I just end up sleeping until 1 p.m. And my brain is constantly playing games with me, bro. Like, tell me why I'll be using all my strength to stay awake during the day thinking, ugh, man, I can't wait to go to sleep tonight. But when it comes time to sleep, I just can't. I'll be left lying there at 5 a.m. awake as hell, watching these random motherfuckers build a 2-story house with a hot tub in the jungle. And you know what? Being awake at 3 a.m. is kind of like being high a little bit. Because you start to think about things you don't usually think about. And because you get hit with the fucking munchies, bro. I'll be whipping up a 3-course meal with appetizers and a complimentary dessert to watch a YouTube video. And listen, I can't explain why, but there is no better water than water at 3 a.m. I mean, it's pretty much a part of my sleep schedule now to wake up at 3, chug some water, take a piss, then go back to bed. But sometimes while I'm trying to go back to sleep, my brain just starts showing me a compilation of my top 15 cringiest moments. I mean, I'm having flashbacks to the time in grade 5 when I said a joke and nobody laughed. Guys, why did the monkey fall out of the tree?
Why?
Yeah, why?
Because it was dead.
Oh,
damn.
Or I'll be up all night thinking about that one debate I had 3 years ago, brainstorming about the best things I could have said in each scenario. It's like if I do some cringe shit during the day, I have no choice but to lose some sleep over it at night. It's like my punishment for saying some stupid shit. Like I know one guy who accidentally called his teacher mommy in front of the entire class. And that dude hasn't slept since.
Alright, I already touched on the unspeakable things that go down in the high school bathrooms, bro. But there's only one place on earth that is more foul than those bathrooms. And it's the goddamn locker rooms. That room smells like complete and utter dog shit mixed with Axe spray. Like, maybe I just went to school with a whole lot of Discord mods, but the rancid smell of the boys' locker room would contaminate anything in a 50-foot radius. And shit, Lord knows what goes down in that questionable place. Like, you'll walk in there and see anything, bro. Motherfuckers will be having fights, chicken fights, group fights, sword fights. Like, any laws and rules simply don't apply to the boys' locker room. Motherfuckers will be throwing hands, selling drugs, committing arson, committing several counts of fucking tax evasion. Shit, you name it. It's pretty much a GTA lobby in that bitch. Like, I remember one day I walked into PE and my teacher was like,
"Hey, where's your PE strip?"
And I was like, shit, it's in the locker room. So I walk into the locker room and there's just two motherfuckers throwing hands and they just stop and look at me like, oh shit, I'ma just get my backpack and shit. So yeah. Alright, y'all be safe. And then they just went back to beating the shit out of each other. Now listen, I don't spend too much time in the girls' locker room, but anytime I walk by there, that shit smells like rose petals and rainbows. So I can only imagine there's no group fights, no chicken fights. Hopefully no fucking sword fights, and bro, you deadass can't leave shit in the locker room. Like, if you leave anything not locked up, it's gone. These kids are ruthless, bro. They're snatching your wallet, your phone, your clothes. Shit, they're taking your PB&J sandwich. And the thing is, if you want your PB&J back, you're gonna have to get it back in blood, because there's no laws in the locker room. See, if someone snatched my sandwich in math class, I'm turning into 6'9", bro. Mr. Cumminson, Jordan Johnson here, who lives on 123 Stickman Drive, postal code STK53Z, just stole my peanut butter and jelly sandwich my mom made me, so I'ma need his ass suspended. But if you try to tell a teacher about anything that happened in the locker rooms, they don't give a fuck. But Mr. Principal, Jordan Johnson just stabbed me and stole my backpack, my phone, my wallet, and my ID.
Damn, I'm sorry to hear that. Where did this happen?
It was in the locker room after PE.
Oh, you said the locker room? You're just gonna have to get it back in blood.
Back in blood? What are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. The way you're snitching right now, you kinda look like a bitch.
But yo, one time me, Billy, and Bob were coming back to the locker room after some good old dodgeball, and Billy notices a dude rummaging through his backpack. So he's like, yo, what are you doing, bro? But when he turned around, Billy was bamboozled to find out the kid rummaging through his bag, he was special. And there was just this moment of silence. Yo, am I supposed to like beat his ass right now? Or bro, I'm sure you didn't take anything. Just politely ask for your bag back. Alright, yeah. Oh, hey man, can I get my bag back, please? And the kid just hugged Billy, and then he left. And I'm still confused to this day, but I'ma be honest. Locker rooms weren't all that bad, cause sometimes you'd walk in that hole and they would just be throwing a party. Now, it still smells like ass, and there was literally no females, but it was still kinda lit. Like, you'd walk in there and it would transform into the club.
Shout out my label, that's me. I'm in this bitch with TP. I'm in this bitch with Ultra.
Or you'll walk in there and they'll just be giving out free pizza. Like walking into the locker room is a gamble. You might walk in there and get robbed or you'll get some fucking pizza. I don't know. But what I do know is there's only 10 types of dudes in the locker room. Starting with that one kid who must have thought it was the 1800s the way he was whipping motherfuckers. Next, we got the poor guy who's just trying to change. He's quiet, he's normal, and he changes. It's a locker room, so it makes sense. Then we got that one poor soul who gets absolutely cooked by the entire locker room. Yo, Why is Kevin built like Mike Wazowski? Bro's got no neck. We're stick men. None of us have neck.
Shut up. You skip neck.
Yeah, he skips neck.
Next, we got Bob. Bob's just that guy that casually takes his shirt off, and he's built like Giga Chad. Like, shit. Fucking sexy ass Bob. And I don't know why, but there was always that one guy who thought it was a good idea to just whip his nuts out. Unprovoked, uncalled for, completely out of pocket. Like, what do you look like with your nuts out in a room with 30 half-naked sweaty dudes? Like, personally, in that situation, I'm keeping my balls in my boxers. Thank you very much. And bro, tell me why there was always one kid who was just dousing himself in Axe spray. And it's always the mustiest motherfucker doing it too. Like, who's gonna tell him that Axe spray doesn't replace taking showers, bruh? And I don't know about your locker room, but for mine, there was always a dude eating. Like, out of all the places on earth, why are you eating in the locker room? Like, for some reason, there's something about eating around a bunch of dudes in their boxers that just doesn't sit right with me. I mean, simply by bringing that sandwich into the locker room makes it contaminated. That sandwich will be tasting like wet dog and Axe spray. And next, we got the kid who just makes as much noise as humanly possible.
Shut the fuck up.
And then there's that one dude who decides he's having a shower. And all power to that guy, but personally, there is no fucking way I'm showering in school. Like, I can't trust this little door to stop these menaces from breaking into my shower. Cause remember, there's no laws in the locker room. Like, it's no jail, but I'm sure if you drop the soap in there, you're gonna get violated. And of course, you got the fiend. There's always a dude fiending for a vape in every locker room. And it's low-key worse in the locker room than the bathrooms. Like, these locker room fiends would do a little bit too much for some nicotine. I've seen them pay $5 for a single hit, and fuck, I don't want to know what they'll do for a hit when they run out of money. And still, I'm not gonna lie, the high school bathrooms get wild. They'll be hotboxed, there'll be fight clubs, but the thing about the bathrooms is a teacher can walk in at any time and get every student suspended. Like, even the poor kid taking a piss will probably get suspended just by association. Which is exactly why the high school locker rooms get so fucking rowdy. Because there's truly no teacher strong enough to stop the buffoonery that goes on in these locker rooms. So they don't even try. Shit, I don't care if your teacher is John Cena. There is no single man who can put a stop to the fuck shit that goes down in the locker rooms. But there is one thing that can. A female.
Everyone has encountered countless NPCs during their lives. Like, you know, the people that just spawned in. They didn't have any character development or anything. And to be honest, when you leave their vicinity, they probably just despawn. If you still have no clue what an NPC is, it's a non-playable character. They're like the type of people you could sock in the face and they'd say some NPC-ass line like, "Hey!" And I know at least some NPCs have to exist. Cause let's be real, there is no way all 7 billion people on this planet have whole lives from start to finish. That just doesn't add up. And I don't know if any of you guys have ever noticed this, but NPCs all have a spot they go to just do NPC things, bro. For example, if you go to Walmart, that's their natural habitat. You are bound to see at least 15 NPCs at Walmart. And usually the NPCs are trying to avoid eye contact. But if you've ever tried interacting with them, you'll know they always have the most predictable and neutral responses possible.